Welcome to Real FM Rewind. Here's some highlights from the week.
There are people whose jobs is to research and figure out how exactly to prolong death and make us live longer. And meanwhile, there are people out there who are living over 100 years old, and they say a secret to living a long life is moderation and a meal of fish and chips. Love this guy. John Alfred Tinnis Wood is 111 years old. He is now officially the oldest person alive right now. There were two other people who've unfortunately passed away that had lived longer than him, that had held the record. One was 114 and one was 112. And now here we are with John from England, and he's the oldest person on this earth right now, the oldest man at least. I don't know, there's probably a woman who's a little bit older than him because women tend to live longer. But John was asked, you know, what is the secret to your long life? He has lived through two world wars. He was born a little after the Titanic sank. Like, that is how long this man has been on this earth. And he says that the secret is moderation, no smoking. I think we can all agree on that one. And he has a weekly meal of fish and chips. So now I think I know what I need to do to live longer, what I need to add to my weekly regimen.
Hansen, we are living with an invisible foe that is attacking us time of year.
That sounds ominous.
It's very ominous, and I just want everyone to be aware of it. You know that yellow stuff that all of our cars are coated in right now?
Ah, yes.
It's called pollen, and it is evil.
Yeah. I was having some discussions with some friends at church this weekend about how much they were suffering with the allergies.
Oh, my word. Like, every year, it sneaks up on me, and I feel like karate kicks me, and every year I'm surprised by this, even though it happens every year. This weekend, I feel like I must have set some sort of record for, like, the number of times I sneezed and the number of Kleenexes I went through. Like, literally some sort of record. My husband would just be sitting in the other room. He'd be like, you okay over there? I'm like, no, I'm not okay.
Yeah, not really.
The pollen is evil, and it must die. It must go away.
Wow.
I have no idea how to defeat it, though, because I already take the allergy medication, so if anybody has any brilliant ideas, I would just like to, you know, put this out there. This foe must be defeated.
Other than
somehow
hang tough for another few weeks and hopefully get through it. I'm not so sure.
Hang in there.
Really like dirt. I don't know why. I know they love grass and chewing on plants, and it's so hard to have a nice bouquet of flowers when there are cats in the vicinity. But for some reason, someone I know, definitely not me, really loves to garden and wanted to have her own seeds, you know, in the house to sprout and bloom and stuff, you know, start some seedlings in the apartment. And she thought, you know, I've got two cats, but if I just keep the door closed, they won't go in there, they won't bother it, and it'll be fine. It's just for a few weeks anyway, no big deal. Well, these cats knew that something was up. There was something mysterious, something smelly that they wanted to smell, and they needed to get into that room. And so, of course, when this person that I'm talking about came home one day after work, she was very sad to find out that the cats had managed to get into the room while her husband was there in the room, and they knocked over the container with all of the seeds in it. So we can't have nice things, basically. If you want to have nice plant things, they have to stay outside if there's cats.
Have you ever been on the receiving end of a just wait from a person who is a little farther down the road of life than you?
Yes.
This is particularly popular in parenting circles.
Yes.
I feel like you hear from other moms and dads, oh, just wait until they can walk. Just wait until they can talk. Just wait until they start talking back. Just wait until they're in school. Just wait till extracurricular activities start. Just wait till they're teenagers.
Yeah.
And I've got to be honest, I think sometimes getting a just wait from someone can be annoying.
Yeah.
Kind of feels like maybe they're one-upping you.
A little bit,
Or Anna Rollins, she's an author that puts it this way. She says, just waiting someone tries to steal present happiness by planting anxiety about a more difficult future around the corner.
Oh, wow.
But then I thought this was interesting as well. Anna also reminded me that the way that we take something, or whether we take offense to something, that doesn't necessarily indicate the way that was intended.
Oh.
So like when someone says, oh, just wait for ... to you.
Uh-huh.
It's probably not actually motivated by meanness.
No.
Right?
Yeah.
So what if it's that person's way of confiding something really difficult about their own lives?
Interesting.
Like maybe they're looking for an outlet to talk about how hard their own children's activities have been.
Oh.
Or maybe their just wait has nothing to do with you at all. Maybe it's just an imperfect, somewhat, attempt at connection.
Yeah.
But I thought that was a really good reminder.
It's interesting.
So Anna suggests taking on this mindset that others are looking to share their own experience rather than discourage you can really help us to reframe many of the encounters that we have that we might perceive as offensive or rude.
Hmm.
Really listening to another person's just wait could help us cultivate empathy rather than resentment.
Picture this. You're home alone, video gaming, sitting on the couch with your best friend, your dog companion, and there's a feline friend as well, roaming about in the room doing cat things. And suddenly, you hear a weird sound, and you see a cat flying across the room, all the way over, just all the way above high, almost near the ceiling, across from you, and it lands. And you just have to wonder, what happened? Why was my cat flying across the room? So this is the picture that you can find because it was video captured and put on TikTok. Of course, is where we find these things all over the internet. It was captured with some sort of like ring camera, like security camera. This guy was just minding his own business, video gaming. And the cat, as you can see in the footage, knocked over a coat hanger, like something that you can hang your jackets on. It fell, jackets fell, and it was so spooked, it just pow, took off in a cartoonish way all the way across the room, up above, over the heads of the guy and the dog, and they both just looked and were like, what just happened?
Okay, Anson, have you seen those cat videos that are everywhere on the internet of like cats being terrified by cucumbers? Like people will just put a cucumber behind their cat, watch their reaction. Usually it's some form of like a super natural jump. Like they jump so high and so wide, they're so scared of it.
Right.
That they're, I mean, it's just so disproportionate. Like it's a cucumber.
Yeah.
Why are
what
you
was
so,
it gonna do to you?
Why are you so terrified of this thing? Well, I don't think my cat Gilbert is terrified of cucumbers. I think he could care less. But I did discover his version of this weekend, accidentally. Windshield wipers. So we had some windshield wipers in our house in the plastic, in the plastic container because we were getting ready to replace them. So they were just, you know, sitting on the floor.
Yeah.
He curiously started inspecting one of them. And I think I was moving them around and one of them slipped and kind of just slid down into near where he was. And he did one of those backward jumps that was like just a vertical, like complete, like how is that even possible? And we were like, oh, see a little bit afraid of the windshield? But so then we started messing around, of course.
Yes, of course.
Of course, because that's what you do. And we're such nice pet owners.
Yeah.
And we were like, what happens if we do this? And then like 5 minutes later, he did like an even bigger backwards, like super natural jump. We're like, all right, we better stop now so we don't actually give him a heart attack. But I was like,
so
okay,
so
this is Gilbert's version of the cucumber.
See, I was like thinking when you first mentioned the idea of like the windshield wiper, have you ever heard like a windshield wiper go over like a windshield and make when it's like dry,
you
know, it makes that loud noise?
That's a terrible
noise. I was
thinking,
oh yeah, like I would jump at that too.
I know.
But
no,
it was just sitting on the ground.
In the package.
Doing nothing.
Doing nothing. I mean, moving towards it. Yeah, he's terrified.
I do not endorse this fast food chain. I vehemently do not like them. However, I can agree that they get creative with their food and drink options, and they're always putting out something interesting. And that's kind of how I see this. I see this all as to get people talking about Starbucks, to get people talking about them. This is all a marketing ploy. I don't think people are actually going to want these to stay on the menu or even really enjoy these. In case you haven't heard, they have rolled out some spicy drinks for the spring season. Like, that makes sense. Like, those things go together. Okay. But they've rolled out some new lemonade flavors. You've got spicy dragon fruit, spicy pineapple, and spicy strawberry. And when I first heard they were rolling out some spicy drinks, I thought it was spicy coffee because that's a trend that has become very trendy right now, spicy coffee. And to that credit, they do have something called Spicy Cream Cold Foam, which is an add-on, a customization that you could probably put on your cold brew or something like that. So they are making a way to have spicy coffee. But all of this, I don't think this is gonna stick. I don't think this is something people actually want or are looking for. I think this is just a way, guilty of it, to get us to talk about this fast food chain.
I think we've talked about this before on the show, that busyness can sometimes seem like a badge of honor that we wear in our culture.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we use that for our answer for everything. How's your week been? Busy. How's work? Busy. Yep. How's life? Busy. But that's a good thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think I, and probably a lot of us, are starting to realize that busyness isn't always a good thing.
Yeah.
Not necessarily a badge of honor.
It's true.
Being busy, I don't think necessarily makes us good or worse or better, or doesn't always translate into significance.
Yeah.
That's the problem with it, right?
Yeah.
In fact, sometimes I think busyness can give us a false sense of purpose.
Ooh.
The trick is slowing down.
Yeah.
Right?
How?
Like, that means, yeah, dropping some stuff that we're doing. And how do we decide what stuff we should drop?
Yeah.
And so this was what I thought was actually really helpful. Some questions from a writer. Her name is Anna Harris.
Mm-hmm.
And she suggests asking yourself these questions about the activities and all the things you currently have going on in your life.
Okay.
So one of these is, does this pursuit align with my core values and convictions?
Oh.
In other words, like, how much does this thing really matter to who you are and what you value?
Interesting.
I think that's a really helpful way to frame this evaluation of what you're doing. A second question is, what I'm doing sustainable long term?
Ooh, that's good.
That's a really good one too, because I think sometimes we get really excited about a new thing or a project, and then we don't really think about, what does this look like in 6 months from now?
Right.
Is this a thing I just want to do for a short period of time? If so, that might be okay, right?
Yeah.
Set appropriate expectations. But if it's something I want to do long term, it needs to be sustainable.
That's fair.
And you might even have to consider dropping something else to replace it.
Yeah.
And then a third question she asks, does the trajectory I'm on with the current activities that I'm doing lead me closer to my life goals? Right? So what are the things, like, in a big picture sense that you want to accomplish?
Yeah.
And are the day-to-day things that you're doing leading you in that direction?
Ooh.
If not, might be worth reevaluating.
Yeah.
I never understood the Stanley obsession, and to be honest, I still don't. But now, I have a newfound appreciation for these giant mugs with handles and carry 40 ounces of water with a straw. I now get it. I was gifted one of these bad boys. Nope, not a Stanley, not that kind of a person. It's probably a very, very cheap knockoff, if I'm being honest, but I was like, oh, this is so cool, this is so nice, I have one of these now, that's great. And then I started using it, and suddenly everything made sense. It carries so much water, which is amazing. It's got a handle. It fits into cup holders. I have so many things that do not fit in my cup holders. This is a newfound appreciation. I love drinking through the straw. I get so much hydration into me now, because fun fact, these things hold, you know, 40 ounces, right? Well, you only need about 80 ounces of water, like, every day, so just 2 refills of this giant, massive thing with a handle, and you're basically good to go. But I do drink more water than that, and I don't know if that's good or not, but I do know I am very hydrated, and now I get it.
A few minutes ago, I was talking about this concept of busyness and how everyone is always busy. We're always answering all the questions with, oh, yes, I'm very busy.
Yes.
Right? And,
right.
And sometimes we can even wear that as, like, a badge of honor. Like, oh, I'm busy. That means I have important things that I'm doing.
It's true.
But just because we're doing things doesn't necessarily mean they're important.
It's so true.
I've learned that in my own life, that sometimes I can get inundated with doing a lot of stuff, but not necessarily the most meaningful stuff.
Right.
Or even the stuff that I really want to be doing.
It's true.
The trick is, how do we decide what that stuff is? And that's where I really like some of these questions from writer Anna Harris. She came up with six different questions. We just talked about a few of them a few minutes ago, but there's a few more that I think are worth asking yourself when you're evaluating your current activities and whether or not they should continue. So one of the questions she suggests asking is this one: is what I'm sacrificing for this thing worth the outcome? Or another way of asking this would be, is the energy spend worth the cost?
Ooh,
right?
That's a good one.
Yeah, like whenever you're doing something, it costs something. Right? Even if the activity itself is free, it takes up your time or your attention.
Yeah.
And you want to evaluate kind of the return on investment, if you will.
Right.
Right? Is the energy that I'm putting into this thing worth what I'm getting out of it?
Yeah.
A second question: am I stewarding well what God has given me? Now, this can go for a lot of things too. It could mean our time.
Yeah.
It could mean the money that God has given us. It could mean our energy. It could mean our talents, right? Like, what is the call that God has placed on my life? What do I feel like he's drawing me towards? And am I spending my time on those things?
Yeah.
Utilizing the resources that God has given me well. And then this is a really interesting one as well. Whose agenda am I fulfilling? And do they care about me and what I'm doing?
Interesting.
So this might be a good question to ask about your work.
Yeah.
Right? If you are working a certain vocation or profession. But it could apply to, I think, most things that we're doing. Like, is this a thing that I'm doing just because other people have this expectation of me? Right? Like, I feel like I need to do this thing out of obligation because I need to look a certain way to others or put on a certain facade.
Right.
If that's the case, like, maybe taking a step back and really evaluating those motives and going, is this the right motive to be doing this thing? Even if the activity itself is good.
Right.
Am I doing it for the right reasons?
Good questions.
I love cooking. I love being in the kitchen. I love making big meals for friends and family members. I take a lot of pride in my cooking skills. So if this happened to me, I would be mortified. I would never be able to live it down. I'd be so embarrassed. This is my worst nightmare. And it happened to a mom who was making a nice Mediterranean meal for her family, her adult kids. Everyone was coming over. She was laboring away in the kitchen. And oddly enough, the dinner, the chicken, tasted like soap. Now that shouldn't taste. That's not what that's supposed to taste like. Something is off here. And she went to look at the bottle of olive oil that she used in the culinary escapade. And it turned out that this olive oil was not olive oil. And you would not have been able to tell based on the packaging. This packaging is exceptionally misleading. I don't know which aisle of the grocery store she found this in. But this olive oil in the small tiny print, after you see the big words, the big picture of an olive tree, and it says olive, and it's like, looks like a jar of olive oil, it says shower gel. Yeah, it's supposed to be scented or smells like or have the properties of olive oil, but it is indeed soap. So she made an entire meal with soap. And we only know about this thanks to the daughter who made a TikTok about it, posted it online, continuing to mortify this poor mom.
If you spend more than about 2 minutes on the internet or in a bookstore or anywhere, really, you'll probably find yourself bombarded with optimization hacks or products that a company is trying to sell you to, quote, optimize your life or make it perfect, make it better, make it more efficient, make it whatever, fill in the blank. Like, we're just, it's almost humorous at this point.
Right.
How much we're surrounded by, like, optimization messages.
Yeah.
And it kind of cracks me up because I am actually pretty guilty of falling for these because it all sounds really great. Like, yeah, of course I want to optimize my life.
Sure, yeah.
Of course I want to, like,
who doesn't?
Exactly, make the most of this. And so it's funny, though. It comes into these, like, minute details of your lives. Like, you should only drink coffee at, like, this time of the morning instead of this time because then these things will happen in your cells. And, like, it's just so crazy how much we've, like, obsessed over these things.
Yeah.
But what's great, if you let yourself kind of step back and observe the cycle of this for a while, eventually you'll come across an article like I did earlier today, where basically a bunch of scientists get together and they look back at that theory that they gave you to optimize your life a little bit ago. And they like, actually, just kidding. That's not a thing. Ignore everything we said.
Right.
just drink your coffee whenever you want. Don't overthink this. And I just think that is hilarious. And it's good for me to remember, like, all right, everyone, let's take a breath. And just sit and enjoy our coffee for a minute, okay? Not everything in your life has to be perfectly optimized.
Thanks for listening to the Real FM Rewind. Make sure to check out all of our podcasts on the Real FM app or at real.fm. And don't forget, be kind and rewind.